This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
All right, good evening and welcome to the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli
playing I'm Gus Bradley.
Playing the role of Gus Bradley here.
I am Gus Bradley today.
Nice to see you.
It's good to be here.
Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
For those of you in Jacksonville, we're here for 2 hours with Jeff and Tony. For those of you on the network, you can join us for the first hour and then join us on the web as well. The phone number on the Metro PCS call-ins, 800-355-6351, 355-NFL1. What'd you think of the weekend of playoff football?
It was great. The problem was is I did the only bad game of the week. So there was three great games, one bad game.
Why was it bad?
It was just not as entertaining. It got away from Cincinnati in the fourth quarter.
Well, I think it surprised a lot of people. So, I mean, in that aspect, I mean, it was entertaining football. I mean, could you have asked for better games the entire weekend?
No. When I say that, Jeff, is the other three went down to the final possession of the fourth quarter where it was in doubt. And it was clear in about 5 minutes left after –
Well, we should tell everybody, you did the Cincinnati sidelines for the Westwood One folks for Cincinnati and San Diego.
Once A.J. Green dropped that bomb, that would have made it a three-point game with about 5 minutes left, and they failed on fourth down. It was pretty much over.
Did you at least get a nice dinner at the precinct paid for by the radio
people?
No,
I did not. I got in late on Saturday night.
So not even a bowl of Skyline or Gold Star chili?
I did have a Gold Star at the airport.
All right.
Three chili cheese dogs.
Oh, I bet you were a lot of fun on the flight home.
Three chili cheese dogs and a chili cheese fry.
Yeah, that's good, Tony. Keep it up. You're well on your way to 280.
Hey, that is right there. That'll help you lose weight.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
It'll flush you clean.
It'll make a lot of other people lose weight for throwing up in the bathroom on the plane.
Come on now.
Hey, fans, nobody helps you get ready for the playoffs this weekend better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. So, you know, the game that caught your attention the most, I know, was the Kansas City-Indianapolis game because you were the only one of the three of you guys, because Mark was here last week, that picked the Chiefs, and I'm sitting there watching it going, man, Loggy nailed this one.
Yeah, I really thought that Kansas City was, you know, you can't look at the last couple games of the season because Kansas City wasn't really playing for anything. And at the beginning of that game, of course, I'm rooting for Kansas City just because I want to be right, to stick it to everybody in here.
And right's important in this room.
But as the game started to wear on and Kansas City started to get hurt, I started rooting for Indianapolis just because of the number of losses that Kansas City had in that game. I was going, well, next week's game won't be any good. Just make this game entertaining and let Andrew Luck win it at the end, because that's exactly what I was thinking. When that game was going on, I said, they've got to score some more points. If they do, this game is over. Then Kansas City came out and started throwing the ball very aggressively, and they didn't have Jamal Charles. And I said, uh-oh, this is going to open a window, and it did, and Andrew Luck took advantage of it.
And Robert Mathis made a big play, too.
Great player.
It was interesting. I was flying for most of that game, so I saw bits and pieces in the airports, and I was following it on my phone on ESPN. And I called my buddy, who's the linebacker coach for the Chargers, saying I was coming in, and we were staying at the same hotel as the team, so we'll get together. And I said, what's the score right now? And we started talking about the game, and I said, if Andrew Luck is within 14 points in the fourth quarter, I guarantee you Indy will win.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a 14-point game at any point in the fourth quarter with time left, that kid's going to win. And he is, in a very short time, created the legend of being able – he's John Elway.
I mean,
he's
really,
Elway,
modern-day Elway.
If you get into the fourth quarter and there's a chance to win, he's going to win the game.
He has more game-winning, come-from-behind victories in the fourth quarter overtime than any NFL quarterback through his 2 years.
Well, he had 10 when we saw him, so now he's got 11.
11. And obviously that one being the biggest one, a come-from-behind victory in the playoffs.
32 starts in the regular season, 2 now starts in the postseason, so 11 in 34 games. I mean, that's almost a third of his games he has come from behind to win.
He's impressive.
Tells you a couple things. He's really good.
And the Colts are
not.
And
they're not very good.
Well, you know, I mean, personnel-wise, they've got a long way to go. But they've got two things you got to have in this league. A big play defender, Robert Mathis.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got to have a quarterback. I mean, look at the games this weekend. I mean, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, Tom Brady, Colin Kaepernick, Cam Newton, Philip Rivers, and Peyton Manning.
Well, you look at last week's game.
Hello.
You're talking. You just put it right on the spot.
Yeah.
In the four games last week, three of them were won by the better quarterback. Now, San Francisco beat Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Kaepernick, but the better quarterback won. And listen, Kaepernick played great, and I don't think any of us would argue that San Francisco has the best front seven. I mean, best offensive line in front seven. And
well, that's it.
On both sides of the ball. Yeah, I mean, trenches, they win.
They win. So that's, I mean, that's why they won that game. But, and then you look at, and Colin Kaepernick is a good player. So we're not taking anything.
Well, yeah, he made a couple big plays.
But Aaron Rodgers is one of the best. And you look at the list, he just read, listen, you got to have a quarterback. You have the guy, who pulls the trigger.
So for the direction of this football team here in Jacksonville, I go back to, and I'm going to stand by what I said last week.
All right.
This football team will draft a quarterback early.
At number three.
And it looks like it's setting up good for this team, Johnny Manziel declares. The
Blake
kid from
Bortles.
UCF declares.
Right.
The more juniors that declare, and I think the number right now is already over 87.
Bridgewater's
another quarterback.
You got three quarterbacks that could go in the top five, which is going to make for a very interesting next
But they're
couple of
saying
Do you trade then?
That the number, though, of juniors that have declared has already exceeded 87. They expect it to go
90.
Over 100.
Yeah, it was 90. I saw it yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah, 90 okay. yesterday.
That's all good for the Jaguars.
Yep.
I mean, with 10 picks and the third overall pick in the draft, you couldn't ask for any better.
I'm going to ask you the question right straight out because John Osher was in here, and you know his email bag is open all the time on Jaguars.com. He is getting draft Manziel. I've talked to some people around the league that said, now don't go to sleep on the guy because he's got a lot of qualities that you like in a quarterback. He's just not very big. And then I read an article today that Jeffrey Chihita wrote, and he talked about how he's as big as Breeze, bigger than Russell Wilson, and all I can think of is, man, this is going to drive our conversation for the next couple of months because people are in love with Johnny Football.
Well, you get that, and then you add to it a little bit of spice that he might be the modern-day college equivalent of Joe Namath.
You know, and Fran Tarkenton as a player.
We're talking about off the field.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Look at the TMZ video of him out in Pasadena in the FSU bikini model that he
good
had.
Good for him.
Oh, man, that's all I can say is, hey, I like this guy.
But, I mean, that's what Joe did when he was in New York.
Walk the doors.
He's a big personality. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, have you watched him? I think he's must-see TV when he's on. And if you saw the Chick-fil-A Bowl against Duke, you saw him make some of those crazy plays.
It was Duke. Did you watch LSU when he couldn't do anything?
Well, I did. I watched both
of them.
Whoa. Don't say it's Duke. Because you know what? If Duke played USC, Duke would probably beat
them. They would not. Duke's
defense is not any good. So let's not get carried away because USC gave Florida State a really good game in the first half in the ACC championship.
Duke did.
Gave Florida State all they could handle in half.
Come on. No, they did not. Jeff, it wasn't even close at half. Florida State scored 31 points at half.
I'm just saying.
Like 31-3.
If you watched that game, it was never a moment where you said Duke doesn't have a chance.
I'm not saying I wouldn't take Johnny Manziel. I'm not saying he's not going to be a good quarterback, but let's not look at the bowl game. Bowl games are silly season.
Let me ask you this question.
Outside the national title, they're just for entertainment. Teams don't even show up.
No, I agree with you on that.
It's a joke. And go look at –
the Duke's a good football team.
They were this year.
They were.
Hey, let me put it this way before we take
better
our
first
break.
Better than
USC. We're sitting here.
They did.
We're sitting here.
They both had 10 wins. What are you talking about?
We're sitting here on January 9th. It's a Thursday night, by the way. On Thursday night, May the 8th, we'll see the first round of the draft. So here's the question. And there's a long way to go. But is there any part of you that says I don't want anything to do with Johnny Manziel?
No.
You?
No.
As a player?
No.
As a player? Okay.
No.
So in other words, you don't just eliminate him, right?
No,
now.
I don't eliminate him, but I would bet against the Jaguars taking him, and I would take plenty of time to do background work on Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
But if you look at David Caldwell's background, you know, Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan, those aren't mobile guys,
right? But are those guys in the draft? Is I guess the question.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't
know.
Find
out. Maybe Bortles.
Peyton Manning's not.
Oh no. Yeah. No.
No, he's not.
I mean
in the
that
draft.
Style of quarterback.
Yeah, A.J. McCarron.
Okay. Well, we'll find out. We've got a long, long way to go. But the Manziel thing adds a sex appeal. It adds a sizzle, spice.
Yeah, just watch TMZ.
You said it, not me. We're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
The Gus Bradley Show is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Just, you know, we got all this time talking about the draft, but we were talking about it, you know, just after we went into the break. And that is where the Jaguars are sitting at three, where there's three quarterbacks that people are talking about amongst the first five, six, seven picks. You got choices.
Well,
you could move back if you wanted. There will be.
I wouldn't draft any of them. If they're that hot and there's that much interest in the quarterback position and those guys, I'm trading. This team needs picks. I'm getting as many picks as I can, especially because we have 10 picks, but the majority of those are fourth, fifth, sixth rounders.
You got 2 fours, 2 fives.
Yeah, yeah, you need second rounders. You need third rounders.
But if that guy is there and he's a true blue ribbon franchise quarterback, and you believe that, you take him.
Yeah, but I don't think that guy's there. I'm not saying.
He's not. No, but maybe he is. No, if he's there, you take.
That's my point. Maybe he is. Maybe he's not. There's not Andrew Luck. There's not Peyton Manning.
Well, okay.
There's not that guy. There's not Eli Manning where you're like, that guy.
How many sure things has there ever been?
Not very many. That's my point.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you look at all the quarterbacks that I'd named off that are playing this weekend. You know, Drew Brees was a second-round pick.
Yep.
Kaepernick was a second-round pick. Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick.
But that's my point, Jeff.
Do you know?
Well, you don't, and because of the situation you are.
You don't. You make a guess.
But the situation you are as a team, you can't guess. You need picks. And so if someone's willing to come up and take that guess because they want that guy, then I would trade back. I'd go get as many picks as I could.
I mean, I kind of agree with Tony.
In general.
I've always said that the draft is somewhat of a roll of the dice, and it is.
It's a crystal ball business.
And if you can get more picks to where if you do miss, then you're just going to make your team better because, you know, the percentages are going to be in your favor by having more picks. You know, so, look, I'm all for getting more picks. But you got to draft a quarterback you believe is the guy.
I agree with that, Jeff, but I'll go back to this. Who are the best two teams in football right now? Just the two top teams.
San Francisco, Seattle.
Okay, I agree
with those. In the NFC,
NFC. And arguably the best in the NFL.
Yeah.
San Francisco, if you look at, I mean, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but it seems like they had so many draft picks for so long.
Well, they were bad for a long time.
No, but they had multiple first rounders. I remember that one year and I'm an offensive lineman. They drafted two offensive linemen in the first round.
Yeah.
I was like, "What are
you doing?" And the right tackle is it Davis?
Anthony Davis. I'm like, "What are you doing?" But they just stockpiled players, and they got their quarterback in the second round.
Right.
But
well, they spent a first round pick on the one that bust
a long time. That's a ways back though. That's 8-9 years ago.
It was 2005.
So, but my question is this: would anybody say that the thing that makes the 49ers goes is the quarterback?
No, not that team.
No.
Not that team. But if you look at the Saints or the Patriots.
No, I agree. The two best teams.
Broncos.
Would anybody say what makes the Seahawks go is Russell Wilson? He's a good player.
He's a big part of it.
But is it what makes – is that who they are?
No.
I'm not saying – listen, I'm a quarterback guy. I believe what Jeff says, that it's a quarterback lead. You have to get that guy. But this team – has so many holes. I'm not sure just adding a quarterback is going to take you to the next step. You need good players.
Yeah, you need good players, no doubt.
I would go, if someone wants Manziel, now listen, if they draft Manziel, I'll be excited because we will have more fun if Johnny Manziel's hit the quarterback. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It'll be fun calling games on Sunday.
Yep.
And we'll be saying,
holding your breath a lot.
Absolutely. And so don't take me wrong. I just wouldn't do it. If someone wants him that bad or wants Blake Bortles that bad or wants Clowney because he slips because the other quarterback's that bad, I would trade and I'd get as many picks as I could.
Of course, now we're talking about putting these guys in the top five, and that's mostly media-driven at this point. We don't know exactly what Dave Caldwell
is. Geno Smith was number one at this point last year.
No, I remember that. Go ahead.
The where you want to get as a football team, and I think the New Orleans Saints this week are a perfect example of that. Who's their typical their starting running back?
Pierre Thomas,
Mark Ingram.
Pierre Thomas.
Darren Sproles.
Right? And, he's hurt. He was hurt last
week.
Well,
he's hurt, right? So they're talking about him not playing possibly this week. Well, what are they going to do? Well, they got Ingram. They got Sproles. You know what? You're okay.
Yeah.
They got a kid named Robinson that was an undrafted free agent this year.
You're okay. You know, and when you get to that point to where one injury doesn't hurt you that much, that's where you want to be as a team because you know you're getting talent rich.
Well, and that plays to what you're saying, and that is that you need so many different things. It's just a matter of them figuring out what the value is and see if they can get it.
No.
Or if they love the guy and they want him.
And now Dave will tell you, I'm sure, everyone wants to trade at times. You have to find someone who's willing to give you what you want.
What you think it's worth.
What it's worth. So,
you want somebody that's going to give you way more than it's worth.
Well, that's true, but my point is we sit here all the time saying, oh, just trade. Well, it's not that easy. Teams –
If the Redskins had more picks, that's the situation you'd want to be in. You just wish you had more Dan Snyders, you know, the Washington Redskins.
Guys that are willing to give away the farm.
Give away everything.
But they already got – well, listen, Atlanta did it a couple years ago to get
they
Ronnie
did
White.
Julio Jones.
Julio Jones, yeah. Excuse me.
Worked out pretty good for him until he got hurt.
That's debatable.
Yeah, until he got hurt.
Yeah. All right. They didn't play very well this year.
We've got a lot more to talk about. We got to get a break in here. We'll take your calls when we return to the Gus Bradley Show, brought to you by PRI Productions here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, welcome back. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Buscelli on the Gus Bradley Show. 800-355-NFL1. If you'd like to join us on the Metro PCS call-in line, 355-6351. Let's grab John down in Keystone Heights. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Happy New Year.
Hope you guys had a good New Year and stuff. I was going to call you and tell you that, but I just kind of, I was listening. I enjoy the show. The thing, Manziel, and I'm like with Tony, I'd trade out if I could trade out. I think that'd be the best thing for us to do. And if we can't trade out, I'd almost go with the guy on the opposite side that used to be on the guy that's on the side that now's on the left side.
Oh, Jake Matthews, Texas A&M. Correct?
That wouldn't hurt. Need another lineman.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. But Jake Matthews is a very good player. He's going to be a top five pick. Someone's going to pick him. Most likely St. Louis, who is the number two pick, because they are dreadful at the offensive line.
Injuries,
and
too.
With the injury to Jake Long, I got to believe that that's where they're going to go. Meaning, you have Clowney. Does Houston take him number one and say, listen, we'll figure out
how many sacks did he have this year?
Well, I agree with you, but J.J. Watt and Clowney next to each other?
Be unbelievable.
Pretty tough.
If Clowney turns out to be what we watched last year.
Right.
Well, I think as you go through the process here, you will see a lot of people fall in love with his measurables. I mean, you talk
Absolutely.
About a big guy that runs, that was productive before this season. He won't go
That's why the process
he won't go
is
beyond
flawed.
Three.
Because we fall in love with people after the combine. Turn the tape on.
The greatest one of them all, Mike Mamula.
Yeah,
the second greatest one of them all, Alonzo Spellman.
What about why can't I think of his name?
But Spellman could play too, though.
Yeah, he could play, but he had
Tony Mandrich.
He was crazy.
Too many people
though.
ignored the mental aptitude test.
Tony Mandrich, you know, a guy that everyone
fell
in love
with.
Oh
yeah, cover of Sports Illustrated.
Oh,
but now he was good in college.
He
too,
was
though.
My draft class.
Yeah, he was a tremendous physical specimen, but just didn't ever have it at the NFL level.
Couldn't pass ball.
Yeah, couldn't do it.
No, he was on the Jews.
355 NFL1. Jim joins us from the South Side next. Jim, welcome to the program.
Good evening, guys. How's it going?
Good so far.
Hey, I had a question for y'all. I know Mr. Meester, the best center in Jaguars history, is retired and all. And I know that y'all need to go with quarterback from Georgia, the running back from Georgia. Who do you need from the center?
That's a good question. I don't. You know, there's so many guys that got to be evaluated. You know, and look, I understand that. Look, the season is over for this team, but there's so much time and so much more evaluation to have to happen before you can start get a little clarity on who's the best and where the ranking is. Because how many draft eligible players are there in FBS right now?
Oh,
1,200.
Yeah, 1,500. I was going to suggest.
Yeah, I mean maybe more.
Yeah.
How do you know? I mean, does anybody watch enough college football to truly say this is the best guy at this position?
Yeah, those guys across the hall.
Well, I mean, they do.
That's my point. I couldn't even. He asked about the center. The USC center was all like third-team All-American. He's coming out.
Well,
I mean, my point before, is, I have
know.
No idea. I mean,
no.
Before we get there, though, you also have free agency, and while none of us really think Alex Mack is going to get out of Cleveland because they've got just a boatload of room, he's the best. I mean, this guy is a young stud center. The guy in Green Bay is a free agent. He's a youngster, and the guy in De La Puente in New Orleans is 29.
He's
a good player. He hits it as well. So that's a position they could fill in free agency. Also,
could
is center a position where you need a veteran to get things rolling? I mean, Mack went in as a rookie. Of course, they weren't very good.
Well, you know, and I go back.
Pouncey was pretty good. Both Pouncey's are pretty good as rookies.
You're right.
I go back to the comments that Jed Fish and Gus Bradley made about talking about Brad Meester, and they said, look, in this offense, it was vital for us to have Brad Meester. And look, I don't think that this was just, you know, a compliment that was over the moon.
I think they wanted him back.
But they did want him back because they said that the center is so important to this offense to be able to make a lot of calls and adjustments that the quarterback does not make. So it's an important position for this offense.
Well, let's put it in this context also. Let's say they go with a rookie quarterback. Forget who it is for the moment, but a rookie quarterback.
If you go with rookie quarterback, you better find a veteran center.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. One more before our next break. James joins us from the West Side. Hello, James.
Happy New Year to you guys.
And to you.
And my question is, I agree that the quarterback isn't going to solve all the questions to bring them to the next level, but really the question I have is, what really is their next level? You know, the amount of wins they have, is it 8? Is it 10? It's obviously not the playoffs for next year. But what would be their next goal? I mean, Tony's interested in it for Gus. You can answer it for him on behalf of him. But what do you think will be if Gus was there? How many wins on the win column?
Well, if Gus was here, he'd say we're going to get better. And we're going to continue to improve.
He'd say we don't even think that way.
We're not going to worry about the record, the scoreboard, or anything else. We're just going to get better and challenge ourselves and compete. And that's not coach speak with Gus.
That's
what he means.
That's what he is.
I mean, that's what he believes. Trust me. We have conversations in private with him, and when he could say anything, that's who he is, and he believes that, and I think that's the right attitude to have. Now, us, we don't have to have that attitude, and we can speculate and guess, and because that's all it is. I mean, listen, I would be – my guess is, depending on what you do in free agency in the draft, 6, 7, 8 wins, I don't know. I mean, who knows?
It's in the realm of possibility.
I look at it from a competitive aspect. I'm a little different. In that, you know, the first 8 games, you were blown out for 8 games. And then in the second half of the season, you ended up 4-4. And all of them in the second half, with the exception of the Indianapolis game, were competitive. So you basically had 7 out of 16 games that were competitive. Give me, okay, instead of 7 competitive games, give me 13 competitive games. I'm not worried about wins and losses. Give me 13 games that when we're calling on the radio, we're loving it.
You're selfish.
We're not filling.
Selfish. You're being selfish.
No, I'm not for me, but I mean, that means the team is making progress.
Joe, he's being selfish right now. You realize that, don't you?
Well, it's good for me, too, but I'm not Pete Prisco, where good for me is good for me.
You've morphed into Pete. You've morphed into Pete. If it's good for me, it's good for me.
That's reality.
No, if it's good for me, it's good for
all
of us.
No, it's not.
If it's good, you know, 13 competitive games would be good for a lot of us.
Be good for this football team. It means they're getting better.
You bet. And that's the most important part. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Look, folks, all throughout the offseason, you can keep up to date with what's going on with the Jaguars on this radio program, and also when you visit Jaguars.com, where you can check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush. You'll get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news, plus a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. We're back with more of the Gus Bradley Show featuring Tony Boselli, here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, folks, welcome back. Gus Bradley Show followed in Jacksonville by Jaguars Thursday from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Tony Boselli's here, Jeff Loggeman's here, Joe Fortunato taking your calls, making sure the program runs smoothly.
Barely.
355-NFL-1. Yeah, here we go. Into the offseason. By the way, we're 2 hours tonight. 2 hours next week. Gus will join us in studio next week.
So you don't need me?
No.
Okay. I was going to say, you're always welcome.
You want me to come? I'm a team player.
There is no I in team unless you got Pete's shirt.
I am about me.
Did you ever see Prisco's shirt that said T-E-I-A-M that his wife bought him?
See, you know, we had the argument
on
the plane.
That's amazing. That's Pete.
But we had the argument on the plane to London about the philosophy, if it's good for me, it's good for me.
Yeah.
And
you and I did.
And I argued that I don't believe that.
Although every plate of cookies that came by, which was good for you.
Okay, but let me ask you a question.
You can say that, but your actions are saying that.
That's not true. I'm here tonight. What do I get out of this tonight?
A coffee, bottle of water, and a chair and a microphone.
I come here because I knew Gus could be here, and you, my friends and colleagues in the business, and I love the.
And we appreciate you.
And so I want. This is proof.
He said he loves you, Joe. Just so you know.
No, you too. I said.
Okay.
Joe and I have a special relationship.
Yeah,
we really can't talk.
You're a quarter Italian.
We can't talk about it on the air. I am a quarter.
You're
Italian.
You're a quarter Italian.
But so to prove my point to you on the plane to London, that's not my philosophy. I don't live by that philosophy.
Okay. And I believed you that night.
No, you didn't. You kept on saying, look at the cookies you're eating.
Well, we had an eight-hour
flight. You're stealing ice cream from people.
You were. We had an eight-hour flight. Come on, give me a break. So, hey, in case people have forgotten, by the way, the Jaguars coaching staff will coach the South team at the Senior Bowl week after next. And what I was going to say is Gus joins us next week in studio, and then 2 weeks from tonight when we wrap up Gus Bradley, and then we from beyond there we go to 1 hour. He'll join us from the Senior Bowl and give us an update on everything.
I'm tempted to go to that for a couple of days. I don't know why.
You've been, right?
Yeah, I like it. I like
deer season. Have you been? Deer season's open in Alabama if you want to get a little.
That's right. That's the only reason you'd go.
Well, you know, if you're going to make the drive.
No, but I like it. I mean, I went. I've only been once, but I like watching the college guys. And walk around, and you know, you see people.
It's a coaching convention, is what.
But I enjoy. I mean, now I don't want to be there all week.
How many college games have you been to? I'm talking about since you were drafted in 1995.
Very many. Oh, handful.
Handful.
No. Handful.
I've been to one.
Which one?
When UVA played Texas A&M, I believe it was here in the Gator Bowl.
Texas Tech.
I mean.
I mean, I've been to a handful.
I got to take that back. I did go to the Gator Bowl when Clemson played Nebraska. That's one.
Okay.
That's I it. Love it, though.
But we're always working on the weekends during football mm-hmm. season, so we never get a chance.
I mean,
I'm a
football junkie. I mean, I love.
Well, you went to South Carolina this year for
yeah.
Game,
I drove
didn't you?
Up. I drove my boys up this year.
So South Carolina
Saturday
Georgia?
Morning.
Who was it?
South Carolina, Georgia.
Yeah,
we got up early. They played Friday night. Got up early Saturday morning. It was a 3:30 game. Drove up, got there, ate lunch, walked around a little bit, went to the game, sat on the sidelines before the game, saw Brett Green. And then went and sat upper deck like just normal people, got done, got in the car, and drove back that night because we had a game the next day.
Yeah, right.
We were playing home here. I love it. I mean, I could go. It just – plus I was with my boys.
Well, around here, you can get to a bunch of college football
games. Oh, great football. Yeah. I mean, and so I'm tempted to go to part of the Senior Bowl just to watch the guys.
Well, I'll tell you, I went out in 2009 when I was working at CBS 47. That was when the three linebackers from USC were there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I can remember doing a sit-down with
Cushing,
them.
Rivers, and Maluga.
Yep.
No, it wasn't Rivers.
No, it wasn't Rivers.
It was
Maluga, Cushing.
It was
Matthews.
Clay Matthews, sorry.
Matthews.
And I had more fun interviewing those guys. I mean, you get to meet some of these guys on a one-to-one level, and it's very relaxed. But here's the one thing you could see right away. You could see who were the players.
Oh, yeah, you can tell right away.
Well, because you're comparing apples to apples.
Oh, man.
I mean, you're getting the elite versus the elite. Absolutely. Now, not all the elite will be there.
No, oh, no. Well, you know, it's interesting. I was talking with J.P. Shadrick, who's from Alabama, a big Bama fan, and he was telling me that A.J. McCarron's a Mobile boy. And
why is he not going?
Well, because he's going to stand on his performance in 4 years at Alabama and go to the Combine. But it's interesting. He's from Mobile. And Mobile has been on the verge of losing this game. You know, there was some talk that they'd return it and play it here in Jacksonville,
right.
Somewhere else in Florida. And he's not – I think it's interesting he's not
going to
play.
He's not going to any games.
He's well.
What would you
oh, no.
do if you were him?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the board told
you. You're talking about a week of padded practice
right.
for a quarterback, okay, and then playing in a game, exposing yourself to injury. That's why a lot of the elite players – and I'm not saying he's elite, but that's the mindset.
Yeah, but I'll go back
– Did you play in the Senior Bowl?
I was going to tell a story. So it's interesting what you said. After the break, I want to come back and tell about my experience, but Brian's – interview of those three top linebackers who were elite and went to the Senior Bowl. It's interesting, and I'll tell you what I did when we come back.
All right, here we go. More to come with Tony Boselli on the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman, Brian Sexton with you this evening. You're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, about 17 more minutes here in the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. And then for those of you in Jacksonville, stay tuned to us here on 104.5 FM and on AM 690 for Jaguars Thursday. Lots of playoff conversation for you. You're going to tell us about your Senior Bowl experience.
Yes.
Your what is it? You didn't play in the Senior Bowl. It was an
All-Star
Bowl,
experience.
Right.
So, you know, like you did, Jeff, I'm sure you play your senior year, and if you're one of the top players, you start getting letters from all the – different bowl games, the East-West.
I played in two. And Blue Gray, East-West.
The Hula and the – you know, so I started getting these things. And I was looking at them. I was going to figure – I didn't know which one I want. I actually wanted to go to the Hula only because I'd never been to Hawaii. I'm like, we'll go to Hawaii. It'd be fun. And so I walk into John Robinson's office, and I said, Coach, got a question for you. He said, all right, come on, sit down. I said, I got these letters. Which game should I go – what game should I sign up for? Should I do more than one? Which one should I go to? He looks at me. He says, you're not going to any of those. I go, what do you mean? He goes, why would you go to a game? I go, I know they sent me things. That's not what you're supposed to do. He says, listen, I've talked to all the scouts and all the coaches. You're going to be a top five pick. Why would you go to the game and even chance or risk? You have nothing to gain. He says, you might go as high as number one. There's nothing for you to gain by going to an all-star game. There's only downside for you. Getting hurt, you know, something going wrong, whatever. And so I took all the letters, threw them in the trash before I walked out of his office and didn't go to any games.
And the position that probably it's least favorable for as far as playing in an all-star game is quarterback.
Oh, yeah, because you have no control. What if you're getting tattooed?
Well, it's not so much that. Is that how are you expected to go in and in 1 week, okay, find a chemistry level and an understanding of a system that's completely new? How? And expect to play well.
And look good.
And look good. And improve any of your draft stock.
Well, it's funny you say that.
I mean, now, if you're a guy that's, you know, that's a late-round pick, that, look, you know, hey, you can only go one way, or a guy that's undraftable, go one way.
Where's that line? I mean, McCarron, most people think, mid-second round, maybe
say,
as high as the...
I would say a third-round pick needs to go.
Who are the quarterbacks for the Senior Bowl?
I have to look it up.
You know, it's funny because... So Rob Johnson was my roommate at SC, and he was, you know, anywhere on the boards from a first rounder to where he went in the fourth. I mean, he kind of was all over the place in projection wise. And he went to the Hula Bowl. And so he goes to the Hula Bowl, and he gets absolutely tattooed because there was a guy that no one had heard of all of college named Hugh Douglas from a small Eastern Michigan or wherever he went, who was on the other team, on the East team, lined up against some tackle that couldn't block, play dead. And Rob got his head taken off for, you know, two or three quarters, however much he played, by Hugh Douglas.
Okay, so here are the quarterbacks who have accepted bids. Taj Boyd from Clemson. Derek Carr from Fresno State. David Fales from San Jose State. Stephen Morris from Miami. All of those guys are guys around whom A.J. McCarron's name goes. I mean, that's
second, third, fourth round.
Derek Carr, some of those have him as high as the first rounder.
And then Logan Thomas from Virginia Tech. So, you know, I'm he has to make the best choice for himself. But if I'm him, and most people think I'm a second-round pick, don't I go to my hometown, play a quarter or two, and see if I can't improve my standing?
But I get his point.
I mean, I do too. You're right.
He played for one of the best teams in college football, played in the biggest games that there is in college football. What more do you need from him?
I'm with Jeff on this one because, I mean, even if you're a second-rounder, listen, if you're a second-rounder and you don't play in that game, but you go work out and work out well and do everything else, the coaches aren't going to remember that you didn't play in that game. I mean, I don't think. They're going to go back and look at your college film and what you've done.
When you look at these guys, Taj Boyd was a guy at the beginning of last year most people thought was a top pick. Clearly he's not. Derek Carr, a guy who didn't play very well in the bowl game.
Stigma of his brother.
Absolutely. You got David Fales from San Jose State, small school, wants to go prove something. Morris from Miami, who didn't play very well in the bowl game, wants to go prove something. Logan Thomas, a guy that needs to prove something to a lot of people. So they make sense. We need a break. We'll take it now. More to come. You're listening to the Gus Bradley Show with Jeff Loggeman and Tony Boselli here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, we've got about 10 minutes, and we still got to get another break, and you're listening to the Gus Bradley Show. Tony Boselli's here with Jeff Loggeman this evening. You can join us, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. You know, we were talking about the Senior Bowl. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. And then the Super Bowl, and then, boy, everyone will have to turn around. It'll be on your way to the Combine in late February, and then all the visits. I mean, I know the draft is 2 weeks later this year, but it sure doesn't seem like it. It seems like there's a lot to get done. Oh, and in the middle of all that, free agency comes up in early March, too.
That's going to be the exciting time for this team. You know, last year, they weren't a big participant in free agency because if they were, it could have taken away from any possible compensatory picks that they would receive for losing guys like a Terrence Knighton, like a Derek Cox, et cetera. But this team this year will be active in free agency. And I'm not saying that they're going to be, you know, top tier and go out there and sign a guy like Mario Williams for a $150 million deal. But I expect them to be players in free agency. They need to be players in free agency.
I still think they're going to be second tier players, though.
Do you think that there's
unless there's a Mac or somebody like that?
To say if there's a guy like that, I mean that might be worth swinging at. But it's a key position too. You're not
talking
about
it has to be the right age group too. Got to be the right age.
But what would Alex 26? Mack cost?
Will you
eight nine?
I was going to say eight
nine ten.
I don't know. I'm guessing.
You know, the reason why they won't franchise.
Do you carve that kind of money out for a center? I'm of the belief that the tackles are very important. Left tackle being the most important.
Thank you.
And I think that you could make an argument that the second most important position in football is the center position because for two reasons. One, he's the captain of the ship. And if you look at plays, the center has to block somebody that is a potential playmaker on every play, especially in the running game. He's got to block somebody that can make the play every time. Could you say that about a tackle? No.
No, backside.
No, a lot of times backside. I mean, he's not always there. You can protect the tackle with a tight end at times. But a center has got to be the captain of the ship along the front, and he's going to block somebody every time that can make a play.
For people who might not follow it very closely, the reason why they probably don't franchise him, they've got all the cap room in the world up in Cleveland too, is because there's no delineation between the five positions on the offensive line.
That's right.
They're all set basically to the left tackles, who are the highest paid players on the line. So if they franchise Alex Mack in Cleveland, it's going to cost them almost $12 million. Now, $8 million to me for what you just described does not seem like too much, especially not for a team.
League, no.
Well, and not for a team like this one that has all the cap room they need. I'm not saying you'd be stupid with it, but Dave and Gus both said cap room's not an issue.
Go look at what the best centers are making. That's what they're making, $8 or $9 million.
Well, and the best part is that you have a left tackle that you're not going to pay a lot of money for because he's on a rookie deal.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And a right tackle that you think you're going to play out Pazdur, if he's your guy, that's not going to
cost you a lot of money either. So you can almost make an argument, hey, look, we can give him a deal that's going to be cap-friendly for the first or in the latter stages of the contract, knowing that at that point we might do something with Jokel. Luke Jokel, et cetera.
All right, we need a break. Final break. We'll come back. Final thoughts with these guys in the Gus Bradley Hour, and then stay tuned, those of you in Jacksonville, for more of Jaguars Thursday. You're listening to Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. A couple minutes left here at the Gus Bradley Show, and then we'll transition to Jaguars Thursday. You know what? Gus is not here this week. He and the staff are all taking some vacation. They come back
next
week.
Much deserved.
My question is, how long do you think those guys have it in them to be away from football?
About a week.
I mean, they live it just like everyone else does.
I mean, they're eat up with it, and they've got that mindset as coaches that you've got to grind, and God bless them. I mean, that's how they're built. I mean, I'm not built that way.
Tony, people ask,
Tony's not built
coach?
That way.
It's a
different mindset.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I'm disappointed we don't have football tonight.
Yeah, what do you do with yourself when there's
Thursday night football?
Yeah.
Those guys deserve a break. They work incredibly hard. They need to spend time with family, and that's what Gus is doing now, and good for him. But, those guys, I mean, this coaching staff will be very active with David Caldwell's staff and helping the evaluation process. Because as a general manager, you want to make sure that you're getting players that your coaches want to coach. And if you're getting input from them about what they think, David Caldwell, I think Gus Bradley said it right in the end multiple times to us, and I think he even talked about it in his end-of-the-season press conference. He said the great thing about on our Monday night shows when he said it. He said the great thing about Dave Caldwell is that he doesn't have a big ego and that he's willing to listen to many voices. And he's going to listen to a lot of the coaches, and the coaches are going to get right in and start looking at college tape after they finish the evaluation of their own football team.
And then, obviously, the free agents, they'll have to look at those guys, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot to do.
Busy, busy schedule.
All right, Tony, thanks for sitting in. We appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure.
We have Jaguars Thursday coming to those of you in Jacksonville and on the web, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great night.